ethnicity and race seem to have captivated the world. Where do they fit in today's Christian church? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Christ is not divided. There's one spirit. There's one body. And so to exalt my ethnicity and say, oh, I've just got to hang out with black Christians. I'm not a black Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be black. This is what destroys the body of Christ. I just have to hang out with white Christians, or I need to go to a church where there's rich folks go, or what have you. It's all idolatry when we exalt it above the knowledge of Christ. It should be repented of.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. We appreciate you tuning our way today as Pastor Al continues his series in Colossians. Al's topic today will once again be division within the church. Being a Christian in a secular world isn't always easy, is it? You might even see the conflict between righteousness and worldliness on the job every day. The temptations are everywhere. But as we'll see in our study today, Christians are supposed to set themselves above the ways of the world by displaying unity. It's a lofty goal, but one that is certainly not beyond our reach. Here's Pastor Al Pittman with today's study in Colossians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former membership, conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. How do I put on the new man? You got to have a new mind. You got to let the word of God renew you according to what? Your own opinion, according to CNN and Fox News? And no, according to the knowledge of him who created you. According to the knowledge of Christ. And when you do that, there's unity in the church. And Paul says there's no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. He's talking about three areas there. One is, he's talking about there's no difference in ethnicities. There's no Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised. And ethnicities, there's no difference, number two, and cultures. Barbarian, Scythian, those are two different cultures. Barbarians were kind of all over the place. They had rejected the Greco-Roman culture. The Scythians were an ancient nomadic tribes, raiders they were called. They were going around raiding places. And they originated from the southwest Asia, and southeast Europe, which today is modern-day Russia. The southern region of modern-day Russia. But the idea that Paul is conveying here regarding cultures is that there's no cultural distinctions in the body of Christ. There's only one culture in the church. It's Jesus. And so he says here, you know what, there's no difference in ethnicities, no difference in cultures, and there's no difference in economic class. You have slaves and you have those who are free. You know, no difference at all. That we're all one in Christ. Christ is all and in all. Amen. That is true unity. Amen. Now, today, we in our society, just to point out that what we're seeing with BLM and Antifa and cancel culture and all this other garbage that is out there, it's not unity they're asking for. They want conformity. Conformity is not unity. They want socialism. We all be conformed. And, you know, you have to all, you know, kind of walk lockstep. They want legalism. But God is not talking about, Paul's not talking about legalism and socialism here. He's talking about unity in Christ, which is based on relationships. First with God and with one another. And all those walls, the middle wall of separation, as Paul says in another place, have been torn down in Jesus Christ. We are one in Christ. Amen. And let me just add to this before I move on, is when we exalt our ethnicity, when we exalt our culture, when we exalt our economic class, We are practicing above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being renewed by the knowledge of Christ. We are doing butchery to the body of Christ in the very house of God. When we allow these things to separate us, we are cutting the body of Christ up. And Paul says to the church in Corinth, who were very carnal believers, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is Christ divided? Some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Apollos. Some say I'm of Cephas, who is another name for Peter. Christ is not divided. There's one spirit. There's one body. And so to exalt my ethnicity, say, oh, I've just got to hang out with black Christians. I'm not a black Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be black. I'm not, you know, this is what destroys the body of Christ. I just have to hang out with white Christians, or I need to go to a church where there's, you know, the rich folks go, or what have you. It's all idolatry when we exalt it above the knowledge of Christ. It should be repented of. God wants unity. Unity how? According to the knowledge of Jesus, not unity through conformity. So Paul says God has better plans for you as you have put on the new man, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You're the elect of God, holy and beloved. What does God think of me, Pastor Al? You're holy and beloved. When I do good, yeah. When I do bad, you're still holy and beloved. You belong to him. This is God's opinion of you. Therefore, as the elect, God's opinion of every member of your membership in Christ is that you're holy and beloved. Aren't you glad about it? Thank the Lord. And so Paul says, now that you're holy and you're beloved, you have a new membership, you have put on a new man, your mind's being renewed according to the knowledge of Christ. Therefore, here's a sort of an eight-piece ensemble that the Lord wants you to wear. He says, and put on tender mercies, verse 12. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long-suffering. Put on bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, you ever complain around the church? You know what complaining got the children of Israel in the wilderness? One more lap around Mount Sinai for 40 years. God doesn't respond to our complaining. He responds to faith. If you have a complaint, and then he says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Because if you have all these things without love, you're just putting on. You know, he said put on, but you're just putting on. You're pretending. But when you have the bond of perfection, now we have authenticity. I mean, the bond of perfection, which is love, we now have authenticity. You show me a church fellowship dressed in this fashion of faith. And Paul gives us here. And I'll show you a group of believers dressed for success in Christ. It's not a lack of conflict which makes a church strong, but the willingness of its members to love one another through the conflict. Is not a lack of conflict that makes a marriage strong. Hallelujah. But a couple's commitment to love each other through the conflict. So when you get to age or year 50, you're rich, blessed, and highly favored by God. Amen. And let me just say, he says, love is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. As we put on the new man, putting on new men has changed our attire. We put on these new things. We don't have put on the other things of the flesh. But love does not make you perfect. But what love does, it is that it perfects your heart so that you can love others the way Jesus loves you. Let me just say, love doesn't make you perfect. Because, you know, we all, I mean, if I ask for a show of hands, and we're all honest, a bunch of hands probably go up. How many of you think you're perfect? Amen. And if you love people, you think, oh, aren't they blessed to have me in their life? I'm so good now. God is so, so lucky to have me. But, you know, love doesn't make you perfect. You still make mistakes. But what the love of Christ does is that it perfects your heart so that you can love others the way that he loves you. And that's what makes a marriage strong. That's what makes a church strong in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, I know Norma loves me because I'm perfect, but that's... Now, everybody knows that's a, like the Bible says, don't lie to each other. Amen. But God is perfecting our hearts to love one another in our marriage after, what is it now, hon, coming up in 46 years. To love one another in marriage, that's the bond of perfection. Amen. Because our hearts are being perfected, have been perfected in Christ. It takes time. Amen. Y'all been married 1 or 2 years. All right, so here's the last thing that our membership in Christ, how it impacts us, is that it guides us by God's peace and by God's word. The old computer adage, garbage in, garbage out, can also be applied to our faith in Christ. We read here in verse 15 to 17, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him."
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with the second half of today's message in Colossians chapter 3. On behalf of Pastor Al, I would like to ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with part two of today's message, titled, Members Only.
I want you to see something here. Verses 15 and 16 are prerequisite for verse 17. You must let the word of God, let the peace of God rule. You must let the word of God dwell. Amen? That word let implies permission. It's an active choice. We have to let the word, the peace of God in our heart. We have to let the word of God in our hearts. It's permission. It doesn't just magically happen. This is not Lucky Charms, amen. The cereal, you know. God didn't just sprinkle stuff on it. We go, ooh, you know. It's a daily choice. I have to let. Speaks of permission. Let God's peace rule. The Greek word for rule literally means umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your life. His peace. Let God call the balls and strikes, not you. Because when we're trying to umpire our own lives, we have no peace. Because one day people are out, next day they're safe. Amen? Your husband messes up for the third time, 3 strikes, you're out! You're out of there! Amen. Your wife makes it, you know, try something and doesn't hit the ball right, you know, foul ball! Gee, can't trust you to do anything. Let the peace of God umpire. Because we'll call people out when God says they're safe. Amen. Let the peace of God umpire so that we can stop being critics. How do we do that? By staying focused on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then he says, here's evidence of the fact that you're trusting in God. Paul says, be thankful. Well, he just kind of threw that in. That's a curveball right there. Amen. Let the peace of God rule and be thankful. Why is that so important? Because thankfulness or thanksgiving is evidence that I'm resting in the peace of God and not wrestling with my problems. Thankfulness is evidence that I'm resting in God's peace and not wrestling with my problems. It's faith. And then he says in verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly, opposed to dwelling in you poorly. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 22, 25, quickly. I can get to it and read it for you. He says in verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, observes the word, and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He immediately forgets the word. That's allowing the word of God to dwell in you poorly. Now, to allow it to dwell in you richly, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, I'm in James chapter 1, verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and say you are perfect in it, but you continue in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. And therefore, letting the peace of God rule, letting the word of God dwell, now we come to verse 17, where you're blessed in everything. Why? Because in verse 17 he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, amen, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, Paul tells us how we can allow the word of God to dwell within us richly. And there's three ways that we find in verse 16. As he says, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in all teaching. You got to be teachable. And admonishing, building up other people around you, admonishing other believers. And then he says, here's how you can help do that. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord is a great blessing there. And that, you know what, you may not be able to carry a tune and a bucket, but you may be the living manifestation of make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen. You're not singing on key or whatever, but if you're singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, it's perfect pitch to the ears of God. Amen. That's what he's listening for. He's not listening to see if you're hitting the right note. He's listening, is there grace in your heart? Sing it with grace in your heart to the Lord. I love that. Why? Because you're allowing the peace of God and the word of God to dwell within you. Word of God to dwell within you richly. Amen. Someone once said this, actually a friend of mine shared this with me. A mentor once told him, when we talk about allowing the word of God to dwell in us richly, to know and not do is to not know. To know and to not do is to not know. We know a lot of things, but and the Bible says it best, faith without works is dead. To know and to not do is to not know. Why do you call me Lord, Jesus said, and do not do the things that I ask? We'll never know him as Lord until what we know, we do. Amen. So let the peace of God rule, let the word of God dwell within you, that we might bear fruit to the glory of God, that whatever we do in word or deed would bring glory to God. Amen. In conclusion, members only, right? Religion is really, when it comes to religion, it's the same as wearing a members only jacket. Back in the day, it was kind of meaningless. Might make you feel good, but it was really meaningless. The good thing about the members only, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that, number one, this membership that we have in Jesus is irrevocable. You can't lose it. You know, sometimes you get a membership card from some place, and you go, oh, okay, you know, going to Costco, you know, searching for your card, you got to show the card, you know, and get cool with it, just kind of give them the card. Got to have the card. Got to have the membership, you know. They ask for the card. But if you lose your card, you know what? Well, guess what? You don't lose your salvation. But Jesus keeps your membership. Amen? He keeps our membership. I'm not talking about going out and sinning against the Lord. I'm just talking about the fact that the membership is not something we keep. It's irrevocable. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, that the inheritance we have in Christ is reserved, is kept, is preserved for you in glory by the power of God. And in order for me to lose my membership, the power of God has to be defeated. Amen. So it's irrevocable. The second thing about our membership is that it's open membership for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You've been born again. It's by the will of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here today or you're watching online, you're not born again. Say, Pastor, I want to know what it is to be a member of the body of Christ, what it is to know that my sins are all washed away and that I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, I'm glad you're watching today or you're here in this building, because you too can become a member. It's an open membership, and whoever puts their faith in Christ has the right to membership, to be called a son or a daughter of God.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.